Welcome to the porch. I'm Richard Grund. This is where we get back to basics, the red letter basics, studying the Word of God, focusing on the Book of Acts Church to see how the early church served the Lord so that we can follow their example. We take a deeper look into their service to the kingdom of God, how they did things, because our purpose is to find and restore the priesthood of the believer to regain the world-shaking influence that the early church had. In doing so, I believe we find the church the Lord attended and not the one that man created, because the church age is not over, no matter what anybody tells you. What happened in the upper room is as much for today as it was on the day of Pentecost. If you believe that and you want that, then join us on our journey as we get back to basics in our spiritual walk with Yeshua HaMashiach, with Jesus the Messiah. If you have any questions, visit FirefallTalkRadio.com. Use the contact button. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. If you would like to support what we do here at Firefall Talk Radio, and we hope that you will, go to FirefallTalkRadio.com at the bottom of the main page. There are ways to do so. If you need more information, just reach out to us. We appreciate your support and encouragement. Welcome to all of our listeners from the various streaming platforms. As you can see, I'm excited to be back. Been off for a couple of weeks because of the hip replacement surgery. I'm just excited to be here with you. Thank you for being a part of the porch community. Thank you. If you need prayer or you want to pray for others, please let us know. We'll hook you into the prayer email and get it going. Remember, we care about you. Please subscribe to us wherever you listen, as well as on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and what used to be Twitter and is now X. And you'll find us there under Firefall Talk Radio. A newsletter incoming this weekend. I'm hoping to get that done, bring everybody up to date. Also, if you would like the weekly scriptures that go along with the Bible study to make it easier for you to not just follow along, because I move pretty quick, but to know where it is, to go back and highlight, let me know. Just send me a message and we'll include you in the email that goes out. Aerial support, I appreciate you. Appreciate your prayers for me during surgery, during surgery, and now, and for the team, and for all that's going on. So thank you. Starting out with praise reports and prayer requests. Well, I praise him that I'm here. I praise him for his love and his grace and, of course, my salvation. I praise him for my home and my wonderful wife who has gone above and beyond taking care of me over these last 2 weeks. I greatly appreciate that. I praise him for my family, my sons, my daughter-in-laws, my grandson, our furry kids, everything I have, I praise him for his protection, for this ministry that he allows me to work for him and with him. I praise him for you, for the dreams and the visions and what he's been showing me, for his healing virtues and for the ability to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint, to be able to rise up with wings as eagles, using this renewed spirit man that he gave me in October of 1988 to serve him in these times, to bring the kingdom of God to the forefront, to set the enemy on the run, set the captives free. I praise him for the signs of the times. He's giving us signs, folks. He's getting ready to return, and we should be getting ready for that. Creation's groaning for the return of the king, and so are we. So I praise him for the coming kingdom and the new Jerusalem. But I also pray all the time. Pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122, verses 6 through 8. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. For I will say of my brethren and companions, for the sake of my brethren, I will now say, peace be within you. Boy, something happened there as I was reading that. I could suddenly see Jerusalem. I could see the walls. I could see the people. Wow, that was crazy. I continue to pray for the remaining Israeli hostages and the bodies that are slowly being released. And a lot of those hostages were murdered over these last 6 months. Praying for the people of Gaza who are suffering because of the actions and control of Hamas. I really wish the world cared enough to do anything about it, but I don't think they do. It's all the foreshadowing of the actions of the Antichrist. We must get ready. Pray for the fatherless and the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice, the martyrs, our brothers and sisters all around the world who are being slaughtered for their faith. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me, my wife, and my family, and each and every one of you as we get back to our divine design. I pray healing for anyone who's sick right now, anyone who's hurting in heart, in mind, in body, soul, or spirit. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, be healed, be made whole. Pray for protection, inspiration, for the remnant to wake up, rise up, answer the call to action. It's time for those that have been blessed to be a blessing. We need to take care of one another. We need to fund the kingdom. Manna no longer falls from heaven. He expects us to do it. I praise him for the ability to join with you in prayer to put the enemy on the run. Holy Spirit, faith-filled, powered prayers to further the kingdom, to glorify him, setting the captives free. We confront the enemy with confidence, with purpose, and with power. Praise him for that Psalm 91 protection that covers us during this supernaturally active and dangerous time. I praise him for edification and encouragement and inspiration that comes from you, comes from prayer, comes from the Holy Spirit, so that we can operate efficiently in the calling, exposing the enemy, seeking the lost, helping the dying, and those that are in bondage. Father, we come to you now in the name above all names. Yeshua, Jesus, 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 the only name I know. Thank you, Abba. Thank you for being our dad, for loving us so much. You didn't abandon us. You sent Yeshua to die for us, to pay for our sins. But we're also thankful he's not dead, he's alive. Cross is bare, the tomb is empty. Yeshua, Jesus, is alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father in fullness and power, and we sit with him in the heavenly places. Thank you for that. Thank you for allowing that. Thank you for doing that. Lord, you are amazing. Your grace is still amazing. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh that emanates, proceeds from the Father. He walks with us. He teaches us. He reminds us of who you are. He lifts us up when we struggle. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We say, have your way. Do whatever you want to do tonight. We give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. Pray protection over the technology. Let this word go forth. Let it do what you intend it to do. And I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. And if you agree with me, say amen. Lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. Combination of that information, the matter presented is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So since the beginning of the year, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit being clothed with power from on high to become fully equipped to do the job the church has been commissioned for. His church lacks nothing that it needs to get the job done. He made sure of that. But he also made sure of something else, that only the things of the Spirit would bring the results that he wanted. Anything else is an aberration and is not of him. And last week, he inspired me to replay a teaching from about 4 or 5 years ago called The End of Religion. And in listening to it, I decided, you know what, I need to revisit this. And so that's what we're doing tonight. We are revisiting the End of Religion series. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, he's saying to the Samaritan woman at the well, "But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit from the heart, the inner self, and in the truth of the Holy Spirit. Because to worship in spirit and truth takes the spirit of truth." That phrase, in spirit and truth, is one Greek preposition, governs both words. It's literally in spirit and truth. You can't take, it's a single concept. True worship occurs as the Holy Spirit reveals God's truth and reality to the worshiper. And who is the truth? Yeshua. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through him. It's a simple, singular concept. But so how did we get here to where we are in April of 2024? How did we get here? Well, I'm going to remind you.
Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
Well, it will take us to heaven. Yes, it will take us to heaven.
Oh, it will take us to heaven. It's good enough for me.
Oh, I know. I probably offended somebody. That's okay. I'm trying to wake you up. Because this old-time dead religion that's killing us isn't from God. It's only from one other source. And he's laughing the entire time. For many, the old ways of doing things are just fine. Hey, let's go to church. Life as usual. Don't challenge me. Don't ask me to do anything. I got my ticket to paradise, me and Eddie Money. We're going. We're good. No, you're not. Are you? Are your children? Is your family? Does your life reflect someone who was walking in the glorious, victorious life that the Lord intended, the one he died for, the one he took captivity captive for and made a public spectacle of him? Or we're living some aberration. I mean, are we individually or corporately making a difference in this world? Many people think they are. But so did the church in Laodicea. Go with me to Revelation 3, starting with verse 14. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one, capital O, who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. Yeshua says, I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing. And you don't realize you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that is purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so that you need not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so that you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love. So be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, and we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear, must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. "I will spit you out of my mouth," he said to them. "A male, vomit, spew, projectile vomiting, something that is so disgusting and so incompatible with the body, it must be rejected forcefully." That's pretty graphic description. See, the church in Laodicea was in an area that was famous for commerce and banking. And the water available in Laodicea came from 5 miles away. It was smelly and lukewarm by the time it got there. Distasteful. So Yeshua was saying that the church's indecisive commitment to him was revolting. It was disgusting. Cold water is refreshing. Hot water can be cooked with or used for medical purposes. Luke water is neither. The works of the Laodicean church made the Lord want to vomit the believers out of his mouth. In very vivid terms, the Lord rejects half-hearted efforts of self-satisfied Christians, people walking around with a label, wearing their T-shirts, posting their things on social media. "Hey, look at me. I'm super spiritual." Or really, let's look at the fruit on your tree. They were spiritually self-deluded. The church was wealthy, literally. It had need of nothing. I'm sure since it was a banking area, the people, the patrons there were incredibly wealthy. I'm sure they probably met in nicer settings. But in actuality, it was spiritually impoverished. It believed that it had expensive garments, well-clothed, when in reality it was spiritually naked. It believed that physical sight indicated the ability to see spiritually when in actuality they were blind to their own spiritual realities. But fortunately, there's a way out. Messiah provides spiritual gold and heavenly garments. Revelation 7, verses 13 and 14. "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' So he said to me, 'These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" Revelation 19, verses 7 and 8. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Oh, hallelujah. Getting emotional and coughing at the same time doesn't go well. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he provided the eye salve to all those who repent." Revelation 3:19, "For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent." None of us get it right. We're all struggling. We're all trying. We're all tripping and falling and scraping our knees. I did that a lot when I was a kid. Nobody realized that there was something wrong with my hips, that they were slightly out of alignment. So if I ran and I didn't get the rhythm right, I would fall and come home in the brand new pants my mother bought me, and they'd have a hole in them. But I got up, and she patched the holes. We trip, we fall, we make mistakes. But as long as you're not lazy and just want to lay in your mistake, let me be like this, I'm good. No, you're not. He loves you just as you are, but he also loves you too much to let you stay that way. God's love for his children manifests itself in correction, in rebuke, in chastening when we go astray. Because the intent of the Lord's discipline is not to break us, it's for our profit, so that we may be partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12, starting verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons and daughters, for what child is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not as children. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us to seem best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful, and nevertheless afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. His holiness, that's what we seek. We can't ever find our own. We want his. So the proper response to God's loving discipline is to repent. Change our incorrect outlook. Turn from the way we were going and go in the right direction. Be zealous and move away from the dangerous, lukewarm spiritual state. Hey, I'm good enough. I got it. I got my ticket. I don't need to do any of this stuff. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to paradise. Well, we need to change. We need to wake up. Change our perspective. Seek the spiritual riches of the ultimate overcomer. The church in Laodicea was apathetic and didn't care much about anything. They were lazy, lulled into sleep by the world, the flesh, and the devil. They forgot, as many do today, that there's a war going on between good and evil, between light and darkness. There's a war going on to save, heal, and deliver people. There's a war going on to go find the sheep that have wandered away and in danger of being destroyed. Oh, that's okay. They deserve what they get. They made their own choices. No. No. Uh-uh. I know the shepherd's heart. He leaves the 99 for the one. He'll send his sheepdog and say, hey, go get that one before the wolves get it. Yeshua, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation, stands in direct contrast to the church in Laodicea and every church that is like it. The faithful and true witness, the one who confessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate and all those who falsely accused him and willingly went to his death, knowing full well what they were doing was wrong. Oh, the Laodiceans, they understood this word. They knew about the lukewarm water. They drank it. They lived with it. They had the markings of a dead church. Apathetic. Nothing fires them up. They aren't fervent about the things of God. They don't have a passion for anything. Have you ever been in one of those places? I have. You look around and go, my goodness, is there any life here? There's no happiness. These people look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. But they were convinced of their own spiritual maturity. Hey, we're spiritually rich. We're physically rich. And you're totally self-deceived. And you do not understand the Lord. And more than that, you don't see the look in his eyes. Because you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And the dead church of Laodicea didn't listen to the word of the Lord. It refuses to change. It doesn't listen to admonition and chastisement anymore. Living that old-time religion with no passion, no fire of the Holy Spirit, and most of all, no Yeshua. And the Laodicean church is alive and well today. Self-sufficient, prosperous, according to the natural eye, but spiritually bankrupt. The reason I'm revisiting this study is to remind us that we've been tricked. We've been tricked by tradition. We've been tricked by ritual. And we've been tricked by the demonic influence to be passive in a world that needs an aggressive response. And while there will be times today and maybe over the weeks that I use statistics to back up my point, that's not the answer either. Because I can spend an equal amount of time with statistics and facts and telling you 40% of all statistics are only 50% correct. But you know how we know it's true? We know it's true based upon the fruit that the tree, that church produces. That's what I was thinking about today. People are, and I know what they're doing. They're struggling in their walk. They're looking for some ways to exhort themselves, some way to naturally press themselves on. So I'm going to post these things. I'm going to appear super spiritual. I'm getting revelation from heaven. Look at my clothes. See my shirt? Been there, done that. But the truth is, those are external trappings. What do you like internally? What's your life like? What's the fruit on your tree? It's not the bark of the tree or the leaf of the tree. It's the fruit that the tree produces. We want good fruit. We want fruit from his tree. We want the sap of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. He is the vine. We are the branches. And even though the world doesn't know it, even though the church itself doesn't know it, they're literally dying for this. Won't you care enough? Won't you care enough to want to tell them? Won't you care enough to risk offending them? To point them in the right direction? I mean, you don't have to beat them over the head and go, hey, this is a New York Christian. Hey, you dummy, you lost. Get over here. Smack, smack, smack. That doesn't work. My point being, if you do it in love, they just may listen. We need to get our focus back on the word, the Rhema word, the Logos word. I posted a picture on Instagram under SRT that basically said, not every spiritual thing is a scriptural thing. Not everything you hear that's spiritual is scriptural. And too many are being easily deceived. The truth that we seek is in his word. Rhema word, the written spoken word, and the Logos word, the living word. So how did we get here? Religion. Man-made religion. See, the early church, the book of Acts church, the one I focus on, not the first not the second century church after the original leaders died and we got further away from them and corporate mentality took over and the enemy seeped in. They had no model. They had, of course, they had the synagogue and they had the Jewish model, but Yeshua flipped that upside down. So they just did what he did, and they did what the Spirit told them. That's what the book of Acts is about. They had no rituals to follow for our church, the body, what Yeshua created. That's why the Spirit was in control, and they had to listen. They had to do what he said. They had to go where he told them to go. But religion, formal religion, consists of specific beliefs, symbols, practices, rituals, and organizations. Hey, you want to belong to my organization? We got a secret Dakota ring. We got a handshake. We meet on Sundays after church. Good coffee and cake. Come on, join us. Nah, thank you. I'd rather have Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Adonai, Yeshua HaMashiach, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, how can we be in the same mind? This group believes that, and this group believes that, and don't do this and do that, and we're going to go at this time, not that time. We're a split personality. It's no wonder we're medicated. Excuse me, because that was me drinking water, and it kablunked, if that's a word, kablunked. 1 Corinthians Chapter 3, verse 3, you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? Church was having a problem. It started right away because of personalities. Some people, strong personalities, and they can get in there and they can especially if there's not a good leader to keep them in check, they can start to enforce their will on a congregation. I saw that at Christian Heritage whenever Shelley was out of town. Those that had their own agenda would try to push things forward. And, of course, then there were people like me that would kind of point that out and create enough of a ruckus, slow them down until Shelley got back. 1 Corinthians 11, starting verse 18, talking about the divisions. For in the first place, when you meet together in church, should be as the church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And let me go back to that phrase in church. Is about the congregation, and their mindset, synagogue, was the congregation. So when you meet together as a congregation, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For doubtless there have to be factions among you, so that those who are of approved character may be clearly recognized among you. So when you meet together, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper, for when you eat, each one hurries to get his own supper first, not waiting for the others or the poor. So one goes hungry while another gets drunk. Unity of purpose, unity of family. Again, I miss elements of the home church we had, not all the work and stress and things that went with it. But we would start out with fellowship, and there'd be coffee and whatever. Then we do praise and worship. Then we do praise reports, prayer requests. Praise and worship, we'd go into the Word. And then when the Word was done and we prayed and miracles happened, and they did, we would fellowship. We would eat together and probably usually got done about 3 o'clock. That's what the Book of Acts Church did. They broke bread together all the time. They ate together. So when the Lord instituted what we call the Lord's Supper, it was a Passover meal with the special rituals and explanations that he reintroduced as his own. There was no little wafer. And I'd really love to know where they got that little tasteless wafer from. It has nothing to do with anything. And the early church celebrated the Lord's Supper just as described. It was a full meal, the agape love fest, that included communion with bread and wine as a sign of unity and fellowship. So these internal, what they call endogenous movements, internally created, excuse me, had a monumental impact, intended or not, on both history and culture. For example, the Great Schism that split Christianity into Western Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy in the 11th century, and then the Luther-led Reformation in the 16th century, which split Protestantism from Roman Catholicism. So sometimes God's hands are in the sifting and the shaking, and the speak come out from amongst them and be separate aspect. But when man is involved, you have schisms, you have sex, you have focus-driven, you have these plans, these blueprints. But what does the Lord want? Attempts to get along with no real change. The Protestant ecumenical movement. Well, they're our brothers, so we must get along with them. But wait, they're wrong. So after several centuries of denominational propagation, mostly recurring in more schisms, the second half of the 20th century witnessed a powerful ecumenical movement. Like the Holy Spirit just blew it all up into 750 diverse Protestant traditions. And in hindsight, as I've looked at that years after doing this teaching for the first time, I realized that the fire of the Holy Spirit came in and he found all the cracks, all the things wrong. And then that dunamis, that explosive dynamite, just blew it all up and spread it all over the place. Until a later time, when he would bring together that which was real. That cry for the give me that old time religion arises from this. Now, I believe that when the song was written by Charles Davis Tillman, they met well. You see, he first heard it sung when he attended a Baptist camp meeting in Lexington, South Carolina in 1889. The song dates to 1873 in actuality, and it became listed in a group of Jubilee songs that were standard in the Protestant hymnals. But you know what? The song says nothing about Jesus. It says nothing about the gospel. It says a whole lot about religion. That old-time religion is killing us. Man-made, traditional religion. It's dying without even knowing it. A zombie church shuffling along, thinking it's still alive. Staying alive by consuming the life out of those tricked into joining them. There's a visual for you. You know what it's doing? There's a good thing. It drives some people out to look for the real thing. But more than that, it's driving people away from the Lord. Into the form and formality of dead religion, or into the lights and sounds and smokes and mirrors of show business in the church. Now, don't get me wrong. I got caught up in all that, and I love good praise and worship as much as the next person. And I see all these videos, and I see all the, oh, my God, there's a revival going on here. Look at all these kids. That's great. That's great. I'm excited. Is that community any different? Has anything changed? I've studied the real revivals, and I've taught on them. And every one of them had one distinctive thing in common. For a period of time, at least, the entire surrounding area was changed. I'm not seeing a whole lot of change. But it feels good, Richard. I enjoy it. I get it. But there's a lot of things that feel good, that you enjoy, that are not healthy. And I thought so, too. Believe me, I did. If the doors were open, I was there. Dressed in my suit. Got to remember, I got saved. Hair slicked back. Diamond cubic, no, cubic zirconia. It wasn't a diamond. Stud in my ear. Black SWAT pants. Motorcycle leather jacket. White shirt and tie. But I'm saved now. I'm licensed now. The hair is still kind of slicked back. Everything else is gone. Earrings gone. The only rebellious thing I did was made the socks, whatever tie I wore, the socks had a match. But other than that, I was dying. And I thought it felt good. I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what they did before. Look at everybody. Aren't they happy? Well, I should have known better. I was doing those deliverances. 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 10 in a week. Couldn't have been all that good. And those weren't new people that came in just to get saved. These were people that had been sitting in pews for years, going to events and weekends and having 70-year-old women tell me that during one of my teachings, that for the first time in their life, they heard the Lord say, I love you. And yes, that's great. But the other side of the coin is she's been sitting in somebody's pew maybe over 50, 60 years and never heard the Lord say, I love you. Satan is willing to allow dead religion. He's willing to allow the smoke and the mirrors and the lights and the sounds. He's willing to allow all those things if you never encounter Yeshua, if it never changes your life, if you don't look different, sound different, walk different than the rest of the world. John 17:16 says, Yeshua speaking to the Father, they are not of the world. But now worldly, belonging to the world, just as I am not of the world. Well, if that's the case, if we're not of this world, if he's not of this world, then why do we apply worldly thinking to what we do for him? I mean, that's as about a profound question as I can ask. He's not of the world. We're not of the world. But yet we're going to run church like a business. We're going to follow the IBM business model. My gosh, how did we never see this? Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But we have a problem. Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, and he's doing a good job with those who claim they do. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Messiah, who is the exact likeness of God, 2 Corinthians 4:4. John tried to remind them. They tried. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one and his kingdom and all that serve him in his kingdom. Why are we so shocked when the world does what it does? He's in control. He's pulling the strings. He's setting the stage for his Antichrist. And as long as I'm here, and my feet are on this ground, and breath is in my lungs, and I love the Lord, and I always will, I am going to be a thorn in his side. If this whole world, and the world system, fallen world system, is under the control of the evil one, think about it. Why do we spend so much time appeasing and copying it? That makes no sense. People are seeking more of God. They're seeking more of their Abba Father, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of Yeshua, HaMashiach. They're seeking more of relationship, not religion. That's what I was seeking. That's when I knelt down at that altar and he saved me, gave me back my family. But then thinking that old-time religion was good enough and following the examples and the path of those before me. But thankfully, my heart, my passion for him was such that he could drop the nuggets in over a period of time and the Spirit could begin to show me things and my eyes would begin to open and realize that we, instead of being the church, an organism, a living organism, we play church, an entity, an organization. And we forget about the controls, the machinations and schemes of the evil one. Oh, we get the demonic stuff. We get the easy stuff to see. We miss the subtle poison that is odorless and colorless that comes in and takes us out. We can't do that, folks. It's time to awaken from our slumber. It's time to care about our brothers and sisters. I have relatives right now that I've been trying to share the truth that I have learned to get them to open their eyes, and it's a fight. I know it was for me, and I'm doing it in love. I don't want to force them. I don't want to drive them away. I just want to get, if they can just get a sip of the good water and go, wow, that tastes really good. Where'd you say you got this water? Then you want more, and then you want more. And then your body says, hey, we like that. We need that. That's nourishing. That's refreshing. Your soul and your spirit starts going, hey, we want more of that. The other stuff, not so much. That's what I want for you. That's why I'm doing this again. Oh, I know it's serious, and I know I'm going to tick some people off, but I challenge you, as I always say, that if I step on your toes, look down and make sure that the foot that is stomping on your feet doesn't have a nail hole through it. He's trying to get our attention. We're running out of time. We don't have time to play religion. We don't have time to play games. We need to see the sheep for who they are. We need to see the lost and dying for who they are. And we need to see the enemy and those that serve him for who they are. Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier which God applies, that you may be able to successfully stand against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the ruled whirlers. Ruled? Sorry. I'm a little jacked up right now. Who are the world rulers of this present darkness. Against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. In case you haven't noticed, there's a supernatural force that wants to impede your walk, your life, your very spiritual existence. And while we can't obsess about it, we must accept and recognize it. I mean, I live in Florida. We have alligators. And if I go near a lake, there could be an alligator there. But if I spend all my time looking for the alligators, what is that? Is that an alligator? Well, if I spend all my time doing that, I miss the beauty. I miss the pleasure. I miss all the other things. So I can still keep an eye on what might hurt me, but enjoy everything else. The aspects of the supernatural and false teachings about the Lord and God fill the media, fill everything we're fed. Oh my gosh, they go from the gamut of slightly off to completely demonic. Where's the answer from his church? We're going to create faith-based entertainment. No, no, no. How about you create entertainment that's based in faith that is shown to the world that's dying? Stop preaching to the choir. Well, we got a new thing. The Lord's given us a new thing. We don't need a new thing. We need the real thing. We need to return to our roots and to the written and living word. Because, folks, if you haven't caught on yet, I'm tired. I'm tired of institutions. I'm tired of denominations. I'm tired of routines and endless programs with no transformation. And I'm tired of the interference with a meaningful connection with Him, with my Lord and Savior, Yeshua, Jesus. Nope. The world has tricked us. Tricked us into thinking His kingdom has to be motivated by popular trends. Pick a trend. Mega churches, seeker churches, satellite campuses, vacation Bible school, children's church, affinity group ministries, ministries for singles, for women, for men, for young marrieds, for divorces, contemporary worship music, big screen projection systems, electronic financial transfer giving, cell groups, downloadable sermons, sermon outlines and bulletins, alpha groups, this group, that group. How about we be the group and let all those things just flow naturally as they're needed? Hey, come to this church. Look at what we do. Check our membership. Look at our mission statement. Look at all things we got. I'm tired of it all. I just want Jesus. I want what they had. And while none of these things are inherently wrong, but the fact is they replace the simplicity of the gospel with worldly strategies to attract people. Excuse me. Reliance on marketing strategies to perform the same activities in different ways, different places, to target a particular segment of a collective population. When we were Christian Heritage, there was a point, this is about, I got there in 90. We left in 93, started the home church. From 90 to about 92, we were exploding with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Sunday services and praise worship were tremendous. People were getting saved, healed, and delivered. They had to put seats in the aisles. And the church was exploding. So, of course, leadership decided we need to go to a conference. So they went to a conference. And they came back with all these new plans. We are now a training church. What? What does that mean? Well, we're going to train and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Wait a second. But what happened to all the other stuff that we've been doing that's been working so well? Well, guess what happened? It all stopped. Basically, what they told the Holy Spirit is, what you've been doing, Holy Spirit, is awesome. Thank you. But we've got it now. We're going to do it this way, and we're going to help you do it. And you know what the Holy Spirit does when that happens? He goes, oh, okay. And he sits back and he moves away. You would hope that he'd go, no, you're not going to do that. I'm not going to let you mess this up. But that's not God's design. He gives men free will. And when their will goes against his will, he will let them wander. And it all changed. Until finally the Lord said, come out from among them and be separate. And we did. And what did I do? In almost a year of all that we did, tremendous stuff, I began to slip into the old patterns, into the comfort zones, into thinking that I needed to do certain things until the Lord said, that's it, shut it down. I've learned my lesson. I'll never make that mistake again. All I want is Jesus. All I want is to see people saved, healed, and delivered. All I want to do is destroy the work of the enemy, set the captives free. I don't need the show. I don't need the dog and pony show. I don't need all this other nonsense. Many of you have been with me a very long time, and you know I got caught up in all that and going into the conferences and seminars and selling the book and doing this. And I'm not saying that was bad. What I'm saying, it wasn't his will for me. I don't need to profit and market the gospel. And I can't from the Holy Spirit just pull me back. Got to guard my words and my tongue. I don't need to know about anything more than Jesus. 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 The one who died for me. The one they whipped. The one they tore apart. And nailed him to a cross because of me and my sin. I don't need all this other stuff. I just need Jesus. I don't need man-made plans or schemes. And believe me, some would say, well, Richard, since you took a stand against us and backed away from all this, look at you, you've suffered. Your following dwindled. Your money dwindled. That's okay. I'm good with him. I don't need activities to prove anything. Education and ordination is the control of the clergy. We'll get into that another time, why that came about. I don't need the routines commonly used in youth ministry because I've been around some of the best. And guess what? Those kids were still pretty screwed up because they were dealing with the outside in instead of the inside out. I don't need to manipulate people with music. Hey, we need to. A little better music at the end to get the offering, get them to the altar. Folks, if the Holy Spirit's not there, it doesn't matter. Well, here's how we sit. This is how we look at things. This is what we do. That's fine. You keep doing that. I just want the simplicity that the Book of Acts Church had. In the weeks ahead, we're going to talk about the pivotal historical periods that inspired changes from the true apostolic age to normal Christianity, Constantine, the Protestant Reformation, the Great Awakening, all things that changed us. Well-meaning, while it was good, doesn't always mean it's God. Good intentions are not always God intentions. But believers went along for the ride. We're going to submit. We're going to do what our leadership says. And guess what? Those changes became traditions. So the question I would ask is traditional biblical? I was in a traditional religion my entire life, very, very adamant, very loyal, very militant about it, until I opened my eyes and said, what the heck? They're making this up as they go along. None of this is in the Bible. This isn't about Jesus of Nazareth. This isn't about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's about men. I think I'm going to stop here before I get into this next train of thought. I told the Holy Spirit he could do what he wants, and he can. Look, I'm here every week for you. I could have taken another week off. I could have said, hey, it's a struggle to sit in one place. I'm still dealing with the effects of having a tube down my throat, and none of that matters. All I wanted to do was to get here and talk about the Word and talk about him with you. Because I want you to be ready. I want you to be prepared. So when the spiritual lights go out and we have that true eclipse of the sun, where the sun, S-O-N, is blocked by this world and the Antichrist, and if you happen to still be here and we're still here, if we're still here, if that happens, you're going to be okay. You're going to be more than okay. You're going to be able to stand, and when having done all, to stand. And if that happens, and I hope it doesn't, if that happens, then we become the resistance fighters that fought the Nazis and slowed everything down until the Allies could get in. But we're not going to give up. We're not going to give in. We're not going to submit. And I don't care who you are, how old you are, what physical condition you're in, how long you've been saved, what you know, what you don't know. Let's start with your heart. Do you love Yeshua? Do you love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your spirit, and everything that is within you? Well, if you do, tell him, open that heart, let the Spirit in, because that is magnetic to the Holy Spirit. He will fill that, and he will fill you from the inside out, and you'll be changed. So that when it gets really dark, you're going to glow. You're going to be human spiritual glow stick to draw the people to you, but it's also going to show the enemy you're there too. And guess what? I'm okay with that for me. If we're going to get it on, let's get it on. But you come here, you got a problem. Because the spirit that's inside of me is the spirit that spoke you into existence. The power of the Creator is in me. You're the creation. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he knows me by name. Father, we love you. You're an awesome God. No, you established all that you did for the Jews with all the rules and all the regulations and all the laws and all the form and formality. It was a purpose. It was to get them prepared for Yeshua. And then he took all of that and reshaped it into what you wanted. And it took 300 years, but the enemy got in there and undid it. But you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. Knowing the end from the beginning, you just waited and you began to wake up one person at a time. This person over here, that person over there. A writer like Keith Green, singing what he's saying, and other people saying stuff that were making people wake up, come out of their slumber, come out of the virus, the deadly zombie virus of dead religion, and coming alive again, going, wait, there's more. I want that more. I want Jesus. Lord, have your way. Speak to your children. Touch those that think that they're useless for you, that they have no place. Give them dreams and visions. Maybe visit them. Visit our children who have wandered away, that the enemy thinks they've won. They've stolen them. Well, I tell you right now, Satan, you and all that serve you, both supernatural and natural, get your hands off of our children. Get your hands off of our loved ones. Get your hands off of the things of God and those things that he's given us. Get your scaly, stinking hands off of them in Jesus' name. We call them back.
We call them back into the kingdom. We call them back into their home. And for those that don't know you, Lord, in our families and our friends and the people we care about, we're concerned about, we ask you to send an angel, send a messenger, send someone before it's too late. We know your heart, and I believe that you will. But Lord, to your remnant that are listening, show us what you desire of us. But I also ask one more thing. I ask for the funds to do what you've shown us, to take this out there to all the other remnant, to go look for them, to do what the Book of Acts Church did and shake this world one last time before the return of the King. I pray all these things in Yeshua's name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord, may Adonai, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord, Adonai, Yeshua HaMashiach, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.